John chapter 21 is a verse that is worthy of pondering. It is the very last part of John's gospel. In fact, it's the last two sentences after John, the Apostle John, has been speaking to plenty of people and writing plenty of stories about Jesus. He writes these words. In verse 25, it says this: "Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did." So he wrote about what Jesus did, and he said, but that's not it. There are many others. "Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books to be written." Jesus did a lot. Amen? He did a whole lot. And so if there's plenty of material that he could cover and talk about, then why did he talk about this topic in his Bible? We're talking today about washing your hands before you eat. All the mothers say, amen, right? Like, what is it about this topic that is so important that other topics are set aside so that we would pay attention to this topic that Jesus has for us? Seems like there'd be more important things to talk about, more interesting things. But this topic is incredibly important for the church to wrestle with. Not the wrestling of hands, but legalism. Amen? Legalism. Legalism is the topic of today. Few things will kill a movement of God faster than legalism. Few things will make the church ineffective, totally make us worthless to the communities all around us like legalism will do. Is it true? Few things will affect my personal relationship with God or your personal relationship with God like legalism will do. Well, we're not wrestling through the topic of hand washing. That was a first century issue. That is included in the gospel so that from every generation to follow, they would have to wrestle through, where is legalism in our church? Where has legalism raised its head? Every time Jesus was confronted with legalism, he addressed it head on. Amen? Out of all the people, Jesus just showed love and love and love to all the people, but he had sharp words to say about those who were legalistic. Because they looked holy, they looked good, they looked like they were doing the right thing, but they were actually working against God himself. And when we allow legalism to reign in our lives, we find ourselves actually working against the kingdom of God in our lives as well. I want you to think of the most legalistic person that you know. I'm not talking to that person today. Today, I want to talk to you about legalism. I want each of us to do a heart examination and say, is this in my heart? And if it's in your heart, I pray that God will remove it. Amen? Jesus talked sharply against legalism because he wants so much more than legalism for you. He wants so much more than legalism for me. He doesn't want us to go through the motions and just look good on the outside. He actually wants us to be good on the inside. And for our lives to overflow and be a blessing to others, like living water coming out of us. That's what God wants. You to experience his life-giving Holy Spirit in your life and then to flow out to others. But legalism just cuts that all off It looks good on the outside, but nothing's coming on the inside. So today we're going to talk about the effects of legalism. And I pray that we will see it in our lives and then root it out. And there may be some here today that have gone, you're very religious. You've gone to church, you wear the clothes, you do the Sunday morning, but your heart is not close to God. You're just doing the motions. I believe the Lord's heart would be an invitation to set aside the outside facade and come to Jesus just as you are. Legalism, the effects of legalism. Are you ready? 3 points today. Legalism affects our ability to see. Our ability to see. You're going to see this in this passage. It affects our ability to see. You're going to see a picture up here on the screen. That's a picture of Denta Town in Liberia, Africa. I purposely chose a picture without any people in the picture, just the buildings. And I chose that on purpose because in many ways I think the villages of Liberia kind of resemble or were somewhat alike the villages that Jesus may have visited. You don't have running water here. Did they have running water in Jesus' day? No electricity, dirt roads, mud brick houses or daubed houses, the wood benches, and it all. You with me? Your job is to put the people from this story into that picture. I want you to see them, okay? And the question you're going to answer is, what do you see? What do you see? So as I read this passage of Scripture, you're going to transform that village into the Scripture, and you're going to actually put the people in the picture. And I'm asking you, what do you see? Are you ready? Here we go. Mark 6, verse 53. It won't be up on the screen. You're just going to see this picture. Put the people in there. It says this: when they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored ashore. Put the people in the picture. Jesus moored ashore with his disciples. And when they got out of the boat, people immediately recognized him. You see it? And ran about the whole region, bringing the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came, wherever he came, in villages, cities, and countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplace and implored him that they might even touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Can you see it? Were you able to put people in that picture? We continue the story. The Pharisees and the scribes enter the scene. And the question is, what did they see? And I'm wondering if they saw the same things you saw. Amen? The Pharisees and the scribes enter the scene. And here it says in Mark chapter 7, verse 1, Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they traveled 3 to 5 days to meet with Jesus. I mean, that takes a lot of effort. So they come from Jerusalem. And they saw, everyone say they saw. Think they saw the same thing you saw? What did they see? Verse 2, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, and that is unwashed. Out of everything they could have seen that day, they saw people breaking man's rules. That's what legalism does. Amen? They looked down their nose with a critical eye at everyone around them. Because no one was doing it right except them. Are you serious? We dare not judge. Because the same thing can happen to us. Amen? Seriously? They saw that his disciples were eating with hands that were defiled, unwashed. This message, by the way, is for all you mothers out there. Legalism distorts our view of reality. What is reality? That's viewing the world from God's perspective. That's real. Everything else is fake. Legalism distorts our view of reality and makes us see things that we are not supposed to see because they do not matter. Legalism. Sometimes we get all worked up over things that don't even bother Jesus at all. By the way, we have no situation I'm preaching at today. Amen. I'm not like, if you're feeling like I'm pointing fingers, well, I'm just pointing them right back at me because I'm not aware of anything. How dare us turn the hope of eternal life into rules and regulations and look down our nose at people? Amen? That's what religion will do. The Pharisees could only see their rules and regulations. They could not see that the kingdom of God was at hand, that God was moving in their midst. They were the most spiritual people of their day. The most spiritually, if someone would say, who's the most spiritual people you know? The Pharisees and scribes would be put up on the stage. The most spiritual. And they could not see God's hand moving because legalism had set in. Consider what they could have seen. They could have seen marketplaces flooded full of needing people. They could have seen the miraculous hands of God working, literally lined up on the ground. And apparently the people had heard about the woman who had touched Jesus' robe, because one touch from Jesus is all people need. And as Jesus would walk by, people were just reaching out for him. They could have seen it. They could have listened to the testimonies of life transformation and joined in praising God. But instead, they said, why are your disciples eating with hands that are not washed? You see what you want to see. If you're looking for something negative, guess what you're going to find? Something negative. If you're looking for God's hand at work, guess what you're going to find? If you're looking for dirty hands, even in a place like this, guess what you're going to find? They missed important things. They missed the most important thing, which is Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. They missed it. The most religious, most devoted, most sacrificial, most learned, they missed it all. They missed it all. Legalism affects our ability to see. That's point one. Amen? Point two, legalism is like a dry well. It's like a dry well. Next picture you're going to see up on the screen. This is a Liberian well. It looks a little different than our wells. And if you're walking through the bush for hours, maybe coming back from a hunting trip, that's a very welcome sight because you're thirsty. There's a little bit of a ring on my mic. If we could take care of that, I would appreciate it. Thank you. And so it looks great on the outside, amen? But legalism is just like that well, because that well is dry. That well is in Grand Bassa, and it doesn't matter how many times you pump the handle of that well, water is not going to come out the other side because it's dry. Legalism will never get you the waters of life. Legalism does not lead to the Holy Spirit. You can work it. You can go through the motions and go through the motions and go through the motions. It doesn't matter how long you go through the motions. You will never find living water in legalism. Living water comes by intimacy with God. Are you drinking living water today? Are you going through the motions? Are you tired of going through the motions? Looking good on the outside, but inside as dry as could be. Legalistic actions appear to be holy. That's the truth. You know, it appears to be holy. In fact, the more devoted you are, the more self-sacrificing you are, the more it hurts, the more holy you appear to be to people. Jesus experienced this when Levi came to follow him. He called Levi, a tax collector, to follow him. And Levi left his tax booth and followed him. Then Levi threw this great big banquet for him with a lot of sinners and tax collectors present. The Pharisees asked two questions. They said, "Why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners?" Salvation had come, and they're looking down their nose. They asked another question. "Why do John's disciples fast and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Literally, Jesus is at the banquet, right? He's eating. "Hey, Jesus, we want to ask you a question." So he walks out of the banquet, walks over to them. "What? Why do we fast and the disciples of John fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Fasting versus feasting. The law of God required that Israel fast one day a year. The Pharisees were fasting 2 days a week. Which one appears to be more holy? Those that fast one day a year, or those who fast 2 days a week? Which ones? And then in this scenario, those who are feasting or those who are fasting, which one appears to be more holy? You see, on the outside, our religious activities look good. They're acceptable. You'll get two thumbs up from everyone in the church. There's more to life than that. Let's look in our text in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. I'm sorry, that should say Mark chapter 7. I don't know if it says 6 up there. What is a legalistic activity that seems to be righteous, but really it is not? Mark 6, verse 3 to 4 says this: "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat." Say, "Do not eat." They're really religious. "Unless their hands are washed properly." Sounds like my mother. You're not eating unless your hands are washed properly. And so if you're a kid, you can use this as ammunition against your mother the next time you're sitting down at the dinner table. Say, "You know what Jesus said about this?" No, they're talking about ceremonially cleaning, not germs. "The Jews do not eat unless their hands are washed properly, holding to the tradition of the elders." Imagine having a Jew over to eat, and he sits down, and you offer him some food, and he's like, I can't eat. Well, why is that? Imagine being not even, I mean, it's just like, it's so ridiculous. Religion separates us from the mission field. It puts us out here and puts everyone else in there. Verse 4, and when they came, when they come from the market, they do not eat. Say, do not eat. Wow, they must be really, you know, the more you sacrifice, the more self-disciplined you are, the more holy you appear. They do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And this is what they're doing. They're standing at the well and they're pumping. They're doing all the religious actions, but God's Spirit is not there. God is not there. It looks good, but it's not there. In the Old Testament, washing of hands, there's verses that about the priest. They're to wash their hands before entering the tabernacle or wash their hands before offering the food sacrifices. In the Old Testament, there's a case of washing of hands when an unsolved murder happened, that literally the nearest town would come and they would wash their hands, meaning it symbolized innocence. There are some verses like Psalms 24, it'll be up on the screen here, that maybe they're getting their tradition off of. Psalm 24, 3 says this, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands. Wash our hands, right? And a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. You see, it wasn't an issue of not obeying Scripture. It was an issue of not obeying the laws of man. Their traditions were gathered together in something called a Mishnah. Everyone say Mishnah. There's 30 chapters in the Mishnah on ceremonially washing of pots and pans. 30 chapters. In the Mishnah, there's one whole volume on washing your hands. The Mishnah needed to be clarified, so there was a commentary named the Gemara written to add more laws, to make it clear the proper way to wash your hands. Why? You had to have clean water. Well, then we have to define, what does water look like? Or the clean water sources. And so there's a list of water sources. But if you're going to wash your hands with clean water, you go to the source, but you're going to put it in a dirty container. So there's laws about the containers you're to use. And so now you get it from the clean water source, you have your clean container, you carry it to the house, but you got to put it in a, if I put it in a dirty container, then I'm not going to have, it just goes on and 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 on. In what area of your life does it go on and on and on and on? Jesus loves you. He wants more than that for you. Christianity is not about following rules and regulations. It's about a close, intimate relationship with God. And when you have a close relationship with God, it's not dry well anymore. It is, the water is flowing. Is the water flowing in your heart? Legalism. It's like a dry well. What did Jesus have to say about their rules, their regulations? Let's look at it in Mark chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. You'll be on the screen. Listen to his words. What words would he use for us? Listen to him. In vain, say vain, do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of man. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your traditions. It's a very sobering warning that could be said about us if we're externally righteous but not internally transformed. It can be said about us. Legalism is a dry well. And my plea is I'm trying to draw you out of it. If you're in it, I'm not accusing you. We're all legalistic in some way, aren't we? We all need this message. I need this message. No matter how hard you work, the well does not produce water. Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 37, said these words. Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You can do the motions if you want to. I choose living water. Last point. Legalism produces vain worship. Vain worship. As I read the first two verses here, I want you to just, it's not a main point, but it just did notice. The Pharisees are going to put a charge against him. By what authority are they putting the charge against Jesus? And then Jesus is going to return and put a charge on them. And what authority is he putting that charge on them? Mark 7:5. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands? What is their authority? Man, right? The tradition of elders. Jesus said to them, and it's sharp words. Maybe we need sharp words today. It's sharp words, but it's really words of grace, as you'll see in just a moment. And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of God. The Pharisees in that moment received an amazing gift. They heard, there was a judgment day coming, amen? Just like for all of us, we will stand before God someday. They received an amazing gift that day because Jesus told them what the verdict was going to be on judgment day while they were still alive and could change. They could repent. Amen? It was an amazing gift that Jesus gave them. I'm just going to read some other challenging gifts from Jesus. There's sharp words. Sometimes we need sharp words. Amen? But it's the words in which the Pharisees are going to hear on judgment day, and he's saying it on earth while they can change. Here, religion, legalistic, if it is you just going through the motions, looking down your nose, Listen to these words that Jesus spoke to the most religious people in the world. Woe to you, this is in Matthew 23, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter. Nor do you let those who are trying. What an amazing word to hear for someone whose future looks very dark. Amen? They have an opportunity to repent. We read more. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you succeed, you make him twice the child of hell as you are. I'm making converts now, so now we got two of us with no water. No water. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup, we just read about that, and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside will also be clean. Amen? Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs. Those words were spoken by Jesus to people who still had time to repent. Amen? It's grace. It's grace if they'll receive it. Which look beautiful on the outside, but inside they are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to be to people as righteous. On the outside you appear righteous, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. One more. You snakes. That's fun. Thank you, Jesus, for saying tough words to call people out of this. You snakes, you brood of vipers, who warned you? How will you escape being condemned to where the most religious people in the world condemned to? How you guys doing? Woo! You know, this gets really tiring. Streams of living water are available to you. You don't have to live that way. Let's go back to our text, and we read Jesus' words to the Pharisees. Here's what it says. And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. It is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain. All that effort, in vain do they worship me. Vain worship. Vain worshipers. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of God. Mark 7. What is vain worship? Let's just look at that for a moment. Mark 7:6. These people honor me with their, what is it? But their, that's vain worship. Vain worship right there. Their heart is far, far from me. Where is your heart this morning? Is it near God? Is it far from God? In college, I learned a saying that I never forgot. It goes like this. You can fool some people all of the time. You've probably heard this saying. You can fool everyone some of the time, but you can never fool who? God. You're not hiding anything. God sees everything. Where's your heart this morning? Psalms 139 says this, you're not hiding anything from God. Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. We worship a God who knows us, amen. You know when I sit, guess what God knows right now? He knows you're sitting and I'm what? You know when I sit and when I rise, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Thank you, Jesus, that you know us that well. Even before a word is on my tongue, oh Lord, you know it. Can't fool God. Where is your heart this morning? Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. How is your heart this morning? The Lord right now is looking at your heart. You can go through all of life, no living water, get to the end, and hear similar words that the Pharisees heard. Woe to me, I never knew you. Your heart was so far from me. You look so good doing your your well thing. Every man would praise you. God is looking at your heart and my heart right now. I believe that's the message for this morning. I'm calling out, not I'm calling out. I believe the Lord is calling out to all well pumpers. He's saying, stop it. Have a relationship with God, and springs of living water will well up inside of you and flow out and be a blessing to other people. Amen.